again, everyone. For those of you who are here for the first time, we've been going through the book of Ephesians. It's been a wonderful journey for us. We've ended 2 weeks ago, but we want to bring some other few other topics in the book of Ephesians before we move on to the next one. And it's been really, really life-changing to a lot of people. A wonderful reminder to all of us of the wonderful things that Christ did for us, for you and I. Not only that, but also what he asked of us to do our part. Now, what we're going to talk about today, again, comes in the family topic. Two weeks ago, we talked about Paul, after his word of exhortation to all that Christ did, and then encouraging the body of Christ in Ephesus in what they have to do. On the final chapter, he said, finally, be strong in the Lord. In all these things that he has urged them to do, the final encouragement was to be strong. And he said, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. So in other words, he's saying that in the Lord, you will be strong. You will not be strong if you're not in the Lord. And that's the word for all of us. And then he warned us. He gave us an instruction on how that we are involved in a warfare, in a battle, that the enemy wants to bring destruction to us. He identified to us the nature of the enemy. He identified to us, same as Jesus did in John chapter 10, verse 10, that the enemy comes not only to steal, but he comes to kill, and he comes to destroy. And he reminds us of the reality of the fight that we are engaged in. And one of the battle, not only that is out there, but also is in our own personal lives, and also it's within our family. The enemy will do his best, his worst, to bring into destruction and destroy all that God has for us. Now, God did it all. He won the victory over sin and death through his death and resurrection. That not only that he won against the enemy, but he invaded the realm of death. And he ripped the authority from the enemy. And as he commissioned his disciple to go into all the world, he said to them, I've given you my authority. That the authority that we are walking in as Christians are not our own. We cannot overcome the enemy by the opinion of man, but by the word of God. And that's what he said. He has given us the authority. He said, I've given you authority. You will tread upon scorpions. You will deal with this and this and this and that. Everything that the enemy will try to bring to you or against you. It doesn't say that we are not going to face difficult times. But he says that I give you power and authority. Even in the most difficult times of your life, you will be able to walk through. And that's the promise for us. Not only is just our Christian life, but our destiny and the original intention of God's purpose and why he created you and I and place us here in this earth. We may have our past, we may have our failures, we may have our mistakes, but when we realign ourselves into the arms of the loving Father and the grace of God, there is mercy in place of justice, in place of judgment. There is grace. There is this restoration that God bring back into our lives, realign us again, and launch us into his original intention of why he created us in this world. So there is always hope. As we read our scripture today, it addresses few things. Paul has been addressing how to live Christian lives. He's been addressing the Ephesians, on how to live the life that is worthy of your calling. And then here, he addresses two important things, and that is how we need to submit to one another. Not only that we submit to one another in the church, and he brought up how we need to submit to one another at home, in our families, husband and wives. It's a fantastic a topic to look at. The more I look at it, the more I have to get on my knees and ask God for mercy where I have gone wrong, even in my own relationship. And it's talking about serving, submitting, loving each other in the way God loves us. There's a story in the Bible, in the book of Hosea, about how the Lord spoke to the prophet Hosea. And he said, I want you to go and take this particular lady. His name is Gomer. He said, you go marry her. Sometimes I don't understand some of the stuff, some of the incredible story that is here. Everything that God does, even in the Old Testament, there is a reason behind it. So he went, he got two kids, and after a while, the woman she loved went, left him with the kids, and went living in another house. So he stayed with the kids, and then he started hearing news of how she was not doing well. So he went after her. He took some bread, and he went to the other village, and he seek out which house that his wife was living. Knock on the door. A man opened up. What do you want? I just want to bring this for Gomer. And then after that, he heard again that she's been sold in the marketplace for slavery. He gathered the little pieces of silver and treasure and money he has, and he went down. He went down where they were doing the auctioning, and there was all these ladies at that time who were being sold. And then he looked and he saw his wife in the midst of this auction. And as they were bidding for the price, there was a voice in the crowd, I'll buy her. I'll have her. I want her. Everybody bidding the prices. And you can hear this timid voice begin to grow louder and louder. I want her. I will buy her. So he went, he gave all the pieces of silver that he got, and he bought back his wife. He took her back, cleansed her, restored her, and loved her, and continued that journey. And then God said to Hosea, that's exactly what I'm going to do to my people. That's the kind of love that God has that will drive him as far as he can for his loved one. Amen? That he sets out the example throughout history of the kind of covenant God that he has. Now, excuse me, the letter is getting smaller and smaller every year. So, it says here in verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives submit to the husband as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the church. So for the husband is the head of the wife. As Christ is the head of the church. His body, in which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives submit to their husband in everything. Now we can take this passage and run with whatever interpretation we want to run with it. But if we listen carefully to Paul's word, there's something beautiful and precious here that we are missing out on because of our opinion of what it is. God created us, man and female, equally. Those we are unique and different. We're equal in his eyes, and we are created in his image. I like that. But there is also a partnership, this complementary partnership also that it brings together with that. God, thank you, sir. Now, in the time that Paul was writing, in ancient time, the place of a woman in society was pretty brutal. The injustice, one of the writer, William Buckley, said that one of the prayer of the Jewish men, first, he thanked God that he's not a Gentile, and the other one, he thanked God that he's not a woman. I don't know why, but we can see that women take a lower class in society. In the Greek culture, it's far more terrible. The Greek, the women submit to their husband. They take care of the children. And the Greek men, they go out and they can satisfy themselves somewhere else. That's part of the culture. The Romans also have that. So the whole culture is mixed and tannish with all this, not only worldview, but practices. In the world, ancient world that Paul was writing, there in Ephesus, we talked about a temple. I share with you a little bit about this particular temple that literally became the mind molder and the influence of the city of Ephesus. This is the temple of Artemis, Diana, and it was called at that time one of the seven wonders of the world. Why? This is where the goddess Diana was worshipped. The goddess with many breasts. You can look it up on the internet, see what it looks like. So, one of the influence of this temple also is the very thing that I told you. Is that a lot of priestess, female priests, that serves in the temple. And part of the worship in the temple are all immoral activity. And it is one of the way in which the women in this society in ancient time, this is the way that they have to counter the discrimination and the belittling in their time. Now, we'll go back. Headship and submission. These are not popular words in our days. But we'll keep looking at the scripture. Let's see. So in order for us to understand what Paul is saying in the new society that he's been speaking to the Ephesians, a new society that God has broke down the barrier between Gentiles and Jews, that the Gentiles have now access only that what the Jews have access before, and that is the blessings of God, to be part of that blessing. So those who have abandoned their worship of idols, have put their faith in Christ, they came now. Now they have become Christians, they become one. That's what Paul is saying here, that they are united now. And not only that, but there is a new way, a new look now, Paul is saying. The same as the men and the women. There is no longer what they have been treated before. They are now equal. They have been brought in this new society that at the foot of the cross, they are worthy of the sacrifice of Jesus. Both of them, men and women. They're equal in the eyes of God. They are made in his image. Amen? That is what Paul was trying to say. And then he said that headship is not about dictatorship. It's not about my way. That the headship that he's talking about, that men, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body in himself. It is the role of what Christ did for us. As men, it is our love. It is our servanthood. It is our laying down our lives for the one that we love. That we reflect all that Christ did in his love for the church. The body is attached to the head, and the head laid down and sacrificed for the church. I love this.
Christ himself became the savior of the body. So if husband's leadership of the wife resembles Christ of his church, then the wife's submission resembles the church in his submission to Christ. I like that. This submissiveness that Paul is talking about is not out of fear, is not out of insecurity. But it is out of a grateful partnership. It's out of her response to the love that she's been given, to the protection and the care and the provision that he's been given. So submission is love responding to love. Amen. Just before that, I grew up in a different culture. I've seen the mistreatment of our women. We thought it was a part of our cultural life. But we thank God for the power of his word. We thank God for his mercy. We thank God that he is the God of second chances, that men are responding, differentiating what is cultural. Their eyes have been opened to what it means to be a husband in our culture. Now, what we're going to do, we'll look at a few things. Now, for those of you who are part of the Bible study or part of any growth group, you will have the material that we are studying. So I encourage, if you are interested in being part of any growth group, so we can track together as a church, please join a growth group. And if you cannot join a growth group but need materials, please let us know. You can go on your own and do your own study so we can track together. Now, the requirement of submission is a Christian duty. Christ himself laid down his life. He submit himself. He became a servant. And so are we in the way we serve each other and submit to one another. Let me just say this. Many years ago, I think it was about 10 years before I married my wife, we were all worshiping in one little island, in the island of Tonga. And we were praying for each other. It's about hundreds of people there. So I think I was going to speak that day. It was way back in the 90s. And then I do not know my wife at that time. Co-workers in mission. So as we were praying, I keep seeing this rose, a hand of a person
holding a rose.
And so as I stood up and speak, she was sitting there in the crowd, and that picture came back to my mind. It was a rose in the palm of a hand. So I looked at her, and I said, "What's your name? What's your name?" I said, "You are like a rose in the palm of the Father's hand. How much the Lord delight over you." And then many years later, we're cooking together in the same kitchen. Before I got married, I was really praying and fasting. I know there are a lot of single men here, single women, those who are in that stage who want to get married. So the more I pray, the more God started working in my heart. Yeah? See, this is the thing. My Heavenly Father has no problem getting me the answer to my prayer. None at all. He can do it. Yeah? He gives the best to His people. The problem is not what He will give me, but what kind of husband I will be. Yeah, to my wife. And that's the challenge for us. For those who are praying, pray that God will prepare you for that day. Our family and the life and the existence of our family is also a warfare. But when we put this into focus and start seeing things from the biblical perspective on how we love one another, how we should treat one another, how we humble ourselves and serve one another, as Christ did this for us, it's a wonderful thing. Second, we submit to the one that she loves. And I like this. The apostle's instructions is not, wives, submit to your boss. Or wives, submit to... This is not a boss kind of thing relationship. But the wife's submission is out of love. That the wife submit to the love that she's getting. The care. The protection. And we are to love like Christ. Sometimes the word submission sounds hard, but I think what is required of a husband is tough. It takes men to walk like Christ, to serve and love like Christ did. There is, in verse 25 and 26, love your wife, guys, including myself and everybody, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. There is a picture of a plant, and it's growing. If you put weed, seeds of weed around the plant, what's going to happen? The weed might overgrow the plant. And sometimes that is our, I feel like that's my role at home, that I have to be a master in pulling out weeds. the weeds from the heart of my wife. When we good at pulling out those weeds, what happened? The plant will grow and manifest itself in its glorious way that is intended. And for us, what Paul is trying to say, as Christ loved the church, he died and he gave everything so that the church can grow in glory in its beauty. That the church that will become the bride of Christ will appear spotless and blameless. That it will shine with all its brightness without any hindrances or spot. And I think it's part of the partnership that we have as husband in our love is pulling out those weeds, is partnering together in seeing God's best manifest in both lives. Christ did everything for the church. He laid down his life for the forgiveness of sin. He purifies the church so that it will stand in its glory. We see here in chapter 4 and chapter 5 of Ephesians on how it says, walk in the manner that is worthy of your calling. And then he laid out all these things, all the requirements and principles that we shouldn't violate as a church. And he's talking to the Ephesians. And so, says here, he says, so husband also, as I said before, our submission is out of our love for each other and appreciation. Right before he said, submit to one another, Paul says, I'm going to end up here. He said, be very careful now how you live. This is verse chapter 5, the same chapter. Do not, as unwise, but be wise, making the most of every opportunity, because days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And then he spoke, said, do not get drunk. That leads to debauchery. He said, instead, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now submit to one another in reverence. It is not difficult to submit if we are all walking in the Spirit. Bearing one another, loving one another. Wives, submission is love. Love responding to love is what Paul is saying. This is new to some. This idea can be discussed in many other ways. What Paul is trying to say to the Ephesians, you are different because of what Christ did for you. Women, men, Gentiles, Jews, you are all united under the grace of the Almighty through what Jesus did on the cross through Christ. I'm going to close there, but I want us to take something home. Think about some of the stuff that applies to you personally. This is a long journey. There are many young generation who are following us, looking for model of relationship in this society where everything is casual, everything is contract. Well, I feel it or I don't feel it. But a covenant relationship that is reflected in what Paul is saying to the Ephesians is the word for us today. Amen? It's a challenge for us. For me, the more I look into this, my heart gets excited. But else, it makes me open up and say, God, I want to be better. I want to be better in who I am as a husband and as a father to my family and my role in the church. So let's pray together. Lord Jesus, it is our prayer that you will help us grow. We know that a healthy family, a healthy marriage will bring healthy family. Healthy family will build healthy churches. Healthy church, healthy community. We want to be that. Help us to build well in our marriage, in our families, or wherever we are in the state of life where we are today. Help us to love you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.